Have you ever experienced a time in your life when you found it difficult to find belonging? You know, I share this often, but my high school is like predominantly white. And when I say predominantly white, I mean like 99% white. I was literally the only Korean kid in my entire year. And there wasn't many other minorities either. You guys know who Barry Bonds is? Famous baseball player. A little bit of a steroid scandal. But Barry Bonds actually graduated from my high school. He's a black man. And actually, he came back one year because he wanted to give back to our community. And his whole thing is he wanted to give a scholarship to one of the African-American students. But the funny thing was, there was only one black kid in my entire class. So he just by default got it, even though he applied for it. That's how white my school was, and that's how many minorities weren't there. And being a person of color in my high school actually came with unique challenges, being in a predominantly white space, being Korean. There were times where I didn't feel like I belonged. Right, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, if you're Korean or Asian, the dread of opening the lunch that my mom packed, wondering if the stench of kimchi would permeate throughout the room and people would look at me. The fact that I didn't look like the rest of my peers, the nuances of growing up Asian American that no one seemed to understand or relate with. And in many ways, in my high school experience, I felt unseen and unknown. I felt disconnected, misunderstood, and left out, and ultimately, alone and unloved. In May 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General declared loneliness a public health epidemic. In early 2024, research published by the American Psychiatric Association showed that 30% of American adults experience feelings of loneliness at least once a week over the past year. So this is the most recent data. And while 10% say they feel lonely every single day, they say younger people, and when they say younger, I was a little sad because I'm not young anymore. They said between 18 and 34, 30% of Americans aged 18 through 34 say they feel lonely every single day or several times a week. That's a huge percentage. And this is especially true here in the Bay Area. This really hits home because I don't know if you know, but last year, San Mateo County has become the first county in the entire nation to declare loneliness as a public health crisis. 45.2% in the Bay Area of people polled reported struggling with isolation or loneliness. I think it's safe to say we all know what it's like to feel lonely, to feel disconnected, unseen, and unknown. Maybe you moved to a new city, started a new job, joined a new church community. Maybe close family and friends have moved away or loved ones have passed on. Maybe it's your disability or your level of education or your race or your ethnicity or your gender or your political views or your faith that have made you feel alienated and discriminated against. Perhaps you have realized that you actually haven't taken the time that you should have to invest in deep relationships and deep friendships throughout your life. Whatever the reason, people are lonelier than ever before. Now, I love Psychology Today's definition. They define loneliness as a state of distress or discomfort caused by a gap between our desire for social connection and our actual experience of it. You know, I was in my sad boy era a few years ago. Actually, still in my sad boy era a little. Because a few years ago, my best friends and I, you know, we all lived here in the Bay. And we all started having kids together. And you know, when that happens, you start like daydreaming. Like, oh my God, my kids are going to grow up with your kids. We're going to go to each other's houses and have picnics and barbecues. I even low-key unintentionally set up an arranged marriage between my firstborn son and one of my friend's daughters. We're like, they're going to get married. They're going to get together. They're going to fall in love. We're going to see it happen before our very eyes here in the Bay Area. We've been here for 10 plus years. And then one by one, just a few years ago, all my best friends took their kids and started moving to Southern California into the beautiful sunny suburbs of Orange County. And, you know, one by one, as they moved, I found myself feeling really lonely and alone. And, you know, I kind of say it in jest, but I was really in a low place. I was surrounded by people all the time, but I felt lonely in my heart. Why? Because my desire for connection, my dream of connection, my vision of connection, what I expected connection to look like became vastly different from my experience of it. Can you relate where your desire for connection, your desire for relationship doesn't seem to match up with your actual experience of it, leading to feelings of loneliness? We find that loneliness often has less to do with physical proximity and is more about emotional or psychological distance, right? Which is why we can be surrounded by people all the time, yet still feel so alone. And this manifests in all different kinds of contexts. In your family, you may share a last name on paper, but you still feel out of place and uncared for. Maybe in your marriage, you may care for your spouse, but still feel lonely and long for a deeper connection than what you have. Maybe it's in your workplace. You're part of a team. You're surrounded by people all the time, but you still feel unseen and unheard. Maybe it's in your friend group. You may be laughing and having a good time and playing Valorant, but you wish for meaningful, deeper conversations and connections. Or maybe it's in your church. You may attend Sunday service, participate in community groups, serve on a volunteer team, yet still don't feel like you're experiencing belonging. But this isn't the way that God intended for us to do life, alone, isolated, disconnected, unknown, and unloved. We were made to belong. We were designed to be relational beings, created to belong to God and to belong to one another. And when we don't find belonging, we fail to experience the kind of life that God created us to live. You know, I say it all the time, you can't find your destiny until you find your people. Who we are and who God's created us to be is wrapped up in the communities he's called us to be a part of. They draw it out of us. So when we don't have belonging, when we don't find community in deep and meaningful ways, it has big implications for our lives. Scripture shows us the significance of belonging from the earliest parts of the human story. I love the fact that God created the world in community. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "Let us make man in our image." Think about that for a second. The God of all creation was in community. He was in community with himself. The community and love experienced in the relationship between Father, Son, and Spirit overflowed into all of creation. You know, I always tell my kids were born out of community and out of love. The love that me and my wife shared, the community me and Krista shared, overflowed to us creating new life. In the same way, that's how God created all of the universe. But not only did God create the world in community, he created the world for community. In Genesis 2:18, it is not good for man to be alone. God literally designed us to do life together, to walk in relationship, to be in community with one another. I don't know how, but I found this weird research project where they isolated people for long periods of time to see how it affected their health, mentally, emotionally, physically. And by all metrics, when people were completely isolated from other human beings, everything began to deteriorate. Mental health, emotional health, even physical health. That's why babies, when they don't have skin-to-skin touch as they're growing up, they actually literally start to die. There is something about being with others, being in relationship and community that we were literally designed for. Yet we know the story that through sin, we've lost what it means to connect and to belong to one another. Instead, we hurt one another. We use one another. We reject one another. We run from one another. Since there's no kids in here, my favorite definition of sin of all time, this might not be PC, but my favorite definition of sin is the human propensity to F things up. And ain't that the truth? This is very much the human story in a sentence, in a definition. War, injustice, bigotry, hatred, they're all symptoms of sin, the human propensity to F things up. We can't help ourselves. But the good news of the gospel is that God didn't just come to reconcile us back to him, but to reconcile us back to one another. God has come to remove every barrier that keeps us separated, that keeps us segregated. Belonging is possible. And I know it's possible because I've witnessed this in the church. You know, last year I had the privilege of being able to officiate the weddings of some of our longstanding church members. And I don't know, I felt kind of like a dad. I kind of felt proud, even though I'm not, you know, their dads. But it made me so proud and happy to see that people within our community, they chose other people that they met at 99 to be like their bridesmaids and their groomsmen. And they were standing up there at the altar. And I was looking upon them at this wedding. And I was thinking, man, if it wasn't for 99, some of these people would never have met. People that people are in deep connection and belonging with. Belonging is possible. But I hear you, church, even though you're silent right now. I hear you because pastoring in San Francisco for 8 years now, I can't tell you how many people have approached Krista and I and said, you know, it's hard to find belonging in a city like ours, in a time like ours. And I don't know if you've ever felt this struggle or felt that way being in San Francisco or being in the Bay Area. But also, I find that like the older I get, it's like harder to make friends. Are you guys experiencing that too? Maybe it's just me. I turned 37 like a few weeks ago, and it's hard, man. It's hard out there. And so there's so many things going against us, so many things that are attacking our desire and our ability to connect and belong with one another. But here's what I find true for most of us, and it's this. We all want to belong. But often we just don't know how. And so for the next couple of months, we felt like, especially in this new season, because we have so many new people here, maybe not right now, but we do have new people that have joined our community in the last few months. But because we have so many new people and because we have old people and we're all interacting in the same space, we thought it would be important to explore what it takes to cultivate belonging in a community. And so we're actually going to be drawing wisdom and practical application from a book written by my good friend David Jang, who wrote a book called Made to Belong. And if you've ever asked yourself questions like, who are my people? Who will accept me for who I am? Why is it so hard to find belonging? Why do I have relationships in my life yet still feel so alone? How do I create meaningful friendships? And more importantly, how do I cultivate soul-connecting spiritual friendships? Well, this collection then is going to be for you. And we've designed it by accident, actually. But we've designed it so that it all culminates at Belong Retreat at the end of May, where we'll create a unique space to get away, to live out and experience these teachings. And so that's kind of on the docket for the next few months as we lead up to this retreat. But to do this, we're going to be focusing on key practices that's going to help us cultivate a sense of belonging within our community. You know, in our culture, we very much romanticize the idea of relationship in the sense that we expect relationships and community and belonging to just happen. Like that we should just organically click and become besties if we're in the same space. But you and I both know that's rarely the case. And I find this especially true in the church. Just because we gather doesn't guarantee we experience a sense of belonging. And if you've been to church long enough, you know that's damn true, right? Just because we're in the same space, just because we're gathering and worshiping together and listening to sermons and making small chat in the coffee bar, doesn't mean we experience belonging. It takes work, it takes effort, it takes intentionality to cultivate belonging. But more importantly, and I think this is the missing piece, it takes practice, right? We have a lot of fitness trainers in our church, and I am not one, if you can tell. But every fitness trainer will tell you, you can't will yourself or think yourself into a healthier body. It takes practice. There are things you actually have to do. There are weights you actually have to lift, runs you actually have to go on, changes in your diet that you actually have to make. But in the church, we kind of expect we should just be family. Like we should be tight. We're brother and sister in Christ. What's up, brother in Christ? What's up? We should be close and tight. And we expect it to happen naturally when everything else in our world takes intentionality and practice. And so we're going to be talking about what are the practical practices that we can engage in a community to foster a sense of belonging. So these are the five practices that we're going to be practicing. And it won't make sense right now. You'll be like, oh, how does that make sense? I'm just going to share with you, and we'll go through it throughout the weeks. Number one, practice one is priority. Practice two is chemistry. Practice three is vulnerability. Practice four is empathy. And practice five is accountability. And our hope is that these five practices will help us create a meaningful and transformative community where people experience true belonging. But today, this is where I want us to start today. Before we get into any of the practices, which we'll start getting into next week, and we actually have phenomenal guest speakers coming through that are going to help teach us and guide us and lend their wisdom. But today, I want to start by exploring what are some of the barriers to belonging that we experience? And where are we at in our journey of belonging? Because if we can't find or pinpoint where we're at and where we're going, we're not going to grow. We're not going to really learn from this. What I find is that we all crave life-giving relationships and community, but we soon come to realize that it's actually really difficult to find and cultivate. And so oftentimes, instead of choosing genuine connections that take a lot of work, that are harder and slower to develop, we settle for less. And in the process, we lose our ability to belong even more. And so we're going to be looking at what's known as the false connection cycle. And this is where I want to park for the rest of the time. It's this idea that instead of choosing genuine connection that takes longer, that takes more work, we settle for a cheaper imitation that's quicker, more convenient, but ultimately that leaves us empty. And so we're going to go through this cycle. Step one, we isolate ourselves from community, which leads us to loneliness. And there could be many reasons why we self-isolate, and some could be really valid. Maybe we've had a negative experience with someone, whether it's gossip, abuse, betrayal, neglect, lack of safety or care, and it's pushed us away from wanting to connect with others. Maybe we're just in a super busy season, juggling responsibilities at work or in the family. Maybe we're exhausted and burned out from life's never-ending demands on our time and our energy. Maybe we struggle with the fear of rejection. Or maybe we just love being independent, right? Maybe we just love the idea that I'm self-sufficient, sustaining. I don't need anyone else. I know the unique challenge here in our city and in our church is that many people who have been with us from the beginning have seen people come and go. And they've like already put in the work multiple times, investing in deep relationships only for people to cycle out of our city and out of our church, moving to Los Angeles or New York or other places like that that God does not love. But I think the unique challenge here is that it's kind of tiring and daunting to think, I got to reinvest in relationships again when those people are just going to be gone in 4 years or 3 years. And so I can understand that's a unique challenge in a city like ours, right? But ultimately, whatever the reason, we isolate ourselves from community and we experience loneliness. Step two, we pursue false connections that promise belonging, but ultimately leave us unfulfilled. Have you ever felt the pressure to change yourself or hide who you really are in order to fit in or belong? We often show falsified versions of ourselves because we're afraid that who we are isn't enough and won't be accepted, or that who we truly are won't be fully loved or fully accepted. And so in our desire to survive, many of us learn to what we call code switch, adjusting our style of speech, appearance, behavior, or expression in a way that we think will optimize the comfort of others in exchange for fair treatment, greater opportunities, and belonging. And this often happens when an underrepresented individual faces a dominant group, right? For example, a woman in a room with all male leaders taking on more work than she has to in order to earn respect. Or a black man changing his verbiage and tone to sound more white in an interview for a job. Or maybe it's a queer person hiding their sexuality in a religious space. For me, because I grew up with so many white people in my high school, I was that Asian kid that like hated on Asians. You know what I mean? Like, I had a lot of self-hatred, honestly, for myself culturally, because everything that was presented to me was that white was better. And so I would often grow up and I would make fun of my culture. I'd be like, God, I hate Koreans. They're so lame. They're so far. I would trash on my own culture, my own people in order to feel belonging. But it was a false belonging. It wasn't real because I wasn't bringing my real self to the table. And I find, especially in the church, many of us have been taught to first behave, then believe, and then belong. right? We've been taught this again in church. Whether we say it, you know, we don't blast it from the pulpit. Yo, behave, believe, but culturally, it's ingrained in our system, isn't it? So we spend our entire lives trying to fit in, behaving the right way to be accepted and belong. We do whatever it takes to present a perfect version of ourselves. We practice virtue signaling, hoping someone is going to notice how good we are, how many good works we do, and see us more mature or more put together than we actually are. And in the process, we abandon ourselves in order to be what others want us to be. And it's exhausting. And it's not sustainable. It's not how God wants us to live. We think we belong, but it's a fragile, false, counterfeit version. Why? Because it's not the real you and me. It's a made-up version of ourselves. And these are false connections because we can't experience true belonging if we can't show up as our true selves. And you know, that's one thing I love about our community. Almost to a fault, like people show up as their true selves. And I love that because God only deals in reality. He cannot deal in the counterfeit. He can only deal when we come real as ourselves, and that's how we are formed and that's how we grow. And so these superficial relationships, they're false connections. They don't actually lead to a fulfilled sense of belonging. Another thing, a more recent phenomenon experience is the illusion of belonging through the internet. Come on, we're all familiar with this, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, Millennials. We all know what it's like to have that sense, that illusionment that I belong through the internet. We have hundreds, Kevin has thousands of friends on social media. I just feel like you do. I don't know if you really do. You just seem like a popular guy. Yet few, if any, really meaningful interactions online. Come on, have you experienced that? Social media offers us the promise of connection, but it rarely, if ever, delivers relationships that satisfy our soul's deeper longings. Another thing, pornography has become a cheaper replacement for real love and connection, giving us the illusion of intimacy, but leaving us empty and more alone than ever. One really fascinating thing that I find, one of the most popular and emerging forms of online engagement is live streaming. Right? Twitch, YouTube, everything live, where people will stream themselves doing like everyday activities like eating or studying or bedtime routines, some even sleeping. I think it's a little creepy, but some people film themselves sleeping for the world to tune in and leave on in a bid for connection. Why is mukbang so popular? Why? People literally don't have people to eat with. And so people are making these false bids for connection online that are leaving them empty. Christian Zills, who's the founder and CEO of Social Media HQ, he says, in short, social media has fundamentally changed the way we think about relationships by speeding up the process of forming those relationships in the first place, and then dramatically lowering the bar as to what it means to be in relationship. And so as this bar is lowered, we find ourselves with more shallow friendships and surface-level connections than we actually know how to manage. The trade-off, though, is that culturally, as a society, we're losing the ability to form deeper and meaningful friendships. Since 2011, this was a crazy stat, there's been a steady decline of emotional intelligence by about 5% every single year, which basically means we're losing our ability to have meaningful connections with one another. Empathy, simple things like connecting or learning how to have a conversation, learning how to care for the other. We're losing those social skills because of our interactions with the internet. Basic human connection skills are becoming hard to find. Come on, I hear it all the time from your dating horror stories, online dating. You connect with someone that just does not know how to interact with people. We know it's true. And as a result, it's becoming increasingly more difficult for people to find belonging. Sometimes in this false connection cycle, maybe it's not turning to social media. Sometimes we turn to things that make us numb, like drugs or alcohol or entertainment. They become almost like false friends. And listen, I'm not saying, you know, don't drink, but sometimes we rely on things that we shouldn't be doing to fulfill us in ways that they can't. I found this was crazy. In Korea, there's this hashtag that started trending a few years ago. The hashtag alcohol is my friend. It had 31.7 million hits on Google. And these Koreans, they say that alcohol is a good friend because it always listens, never corrects you, and is there for you no matter what. And the hashtag is partially a joke, like it was kind of a funny meme. But the underlying truth is that alcohol has been used as a substitute for real human connection. Maybe it's not alcohol. Maybe it's Netflix, vegging out and binging hours of entertainment. Come on, physical 100, just binging it all in one night. I got to catch up. Researchers estimate that more than 210 million people suffer from media addiction. And while, yes, it's important to take breaks from work and life, there's a big difference between self-care and self-soothe. Right? Self-soothe focuses more on feeling good at the moment, but self-care is being mindful of your needs and building long-term solutions for the long run. And a lot of us are doing a lot more self-soothing than we are self-caring. For others, especially in San Francisco, the temptation is opposite of a Netflix binge. It's the never-ending work week. In a city like ours, work and busyness can become a kind of a drug. Work can often become an excuse for avoiding pain of loneliness by staying busy and pouring all of our energy into our work, hoping that our performance, our achievements, our success will offer us the belonging and fulfillment that we are looking for. And so all of these false connections, most of us, we turn to some of these false connections to distract ourselves from the fact and the truth that we're actually deeply lonely inside. And whether we're aware of it or not, these things leave us less connected, less whole, and less human, which leads us to step three. These false connections leave us feeling anxious and lonely from a lack of real intimacy and belonging. But here's the thing. If we don't deal with the source of these symptoms, we actually experience further destruction emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We end up feeling more alone than ever before. So how do we break the cycle? Let's look to Genesis 16, and we're gonna park it here and end. Genesis 16. We find a story about Abram, Sarai, and Hagar. You might be familiar with it. Abraham and Sarai, they're followers of Yahweh. And they're supposed to be the very community that protected and cared for outsiders, foreigners like Hagar. But instead of experiencing belonging, in the story, we find that Hagar is actually mistreated, abused. Abram and Sarah didn't even address her by name. She was just the slave. And as a result, Hagar, she ends up fleeing from Abram and Sarai, trying to find her own way. Yet in the midst of her running, the angel of the Lord finds her and asks her this profound question. This is where we're going to end today. In Genesis 16:7-8, the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" And this is the question I want us to reflect on today as we close. Where have you come from and where are you going? What has your journey of belonging up to this point been like? Maybe you're like me and you've had deep friendships, but they've moved on to different cities or different places. Maybe you had a falling out in your friend group. Maybe you think of so many instances of your life, you've never quite felt like you belonged anywhere and you've yet to experience it. Maybe some of you, you're experiencing a lot of belonging right now and it's great. Wherever you're at, where have you come from? What are some of your hang-ups with some of the false connections that we make a bid for? Maybe it is your work. Maybe it is relationships. Maybe it is things with drug, alcohol that you have unhealthy relationships with. Maybe it is church where you show the falsified version of yourself in a bid for connection but haven't really experienced true belonging. Where have you come from? And where are you going? If you were to be honest with yourself and God right now, What is the ideal sense of belonging that you long to experience, especially in a spiritual community, in a church community? What does that look like for you? What do you really want in your relationships? What do you really want in your connections, in your friendships, in your marriage, with your coworkers, with your neighbors? What are the type of relationships that you want to experience? So right now, why don't we close our eyes, and I want to invite you to a time of response and reflection. God, we just thank you that you're here in this place. I thank you that you're here with us right now. God, you literally created us to belong. You made us to belong. And it's in our belonging where we really tap into who you created us to be and everything you've created us to do. You know, some of us feel like life really hasn't just clicked yet. And I really do believe it's because we haven't found our people yet. Some of us, there are businesses that God has called us to create. There are things God has called us to try. There are missions and endeavors that you've called us to be activated in, but we have yet to do it because we haven't found our people. Right now, I want to invite you just to think through your childhood. Think through your family relationships. Think through your friendships. Think through your workplaces. Think through your Christian communities. All of it. The good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful. What are some of the disappointments that you experience in your history of belonging? What are some of the painful experiences that you're carrying from your history of belonging? What are some of the false connections that you've turned to cope with loneliness? Where have you come from? Right now, I just want you to hold those things in tension, in the tension of your heart. God, these are the burdens that I'm carrying. This is the history that I'm holding. These are the false connections that I've been turning to. But where are you going? Right now, God, we offer all these things up to you. All these false connections that have left us empty. All of these painful experiences that have left us hurt and isolated. All of it. We give to you, and we say the place that we want to go is back to Eden, back to experiencing belonging to you and belonging to one another. And so I pray over the next few weeks, we would know exactly where we're headed, what we long for our relationships in this community, what we long for in our relationships at home with our family members and our spouses and our friend groups and our coworkers. God, give us a vision of what it could look like to experience belonging. I feel like there's two more things I just want to address before we close. The first, I just hear the invitation of the Holy Spirit saying, I know you're tired from wearing that mask. And I think some of us, we've hid parts of ourselves or we've withheld parts of ourselves, not just from church, but even with our family members, in our friend groups. We've hid parts of ourselves from community in fear that it would be too much or it wouldn't be enough. But I hear God saying, you could put down the mask. It's heavy. You don't have to carry it anymore. Who I've created you to be is lovable, is enough. And I just hear an invitation from the Spirit of God in this next season to lay down your masks and to come as your true self, whatever that looks like, even if it's messy, even if it's ugly. And I feel the Holy Spirit working in that. So God, I pray over anyone who feels like they've been having to wear a mask, having to wear the aura of having it all together or being holier or more mature than they actually are, or of having to hide parts of themselves to feel safe. I just pray, Lord, in this season, you would help us take off our masks and show up as our true selves so that we could experience belonging. And the last invitation, I just feel like some of us were afraid to jump back in. Whether we've been hurt or whether we've been left or whether we've just tired or burnt out, feel like some of us are afraid to step back into community. And what I mean by stepping back into community, it's not just a matter of showing up, but opening your heart up to the possibility of deeper friendship and relationship. And I feel like for some of us here today, God is asking, will you give it another shot? Will you open up your heart again? Will you open up your time? Will you open up your life? It doesn't mean you won't be disappointed again, but closing that part of yourself off is no way to live. God, would you open up our hearts? Would you give us the courage to step back into relationship, to step back into covenant, to step back into friendship, to step back into offering our entire hearts and our lives for the people that we're around? Give us the courage, protect our hearts, and move us forward. God, we thank you for all these things you're doing and more. So excited for the next 7 weeks as we dive deeper into what it means to belong. Thank you for holding our hand through the journey. We are not alone. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. We say, amen.